Rapid fire. Spring meetings. Key resolutions of the 2014 spring meetings. Subcommittee on Resolutions. 1. Call for resignations of Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary, Undersecretary for Health, and Undersecretary for Benefits. Americanism. 30. Change the name of Junior Law Cadet Program to Youth Cadet Law Enforcement Program. Finance. 3. Clarify permissible uses of funds from the American Legion Poppy Program. 6. Administer a $1 million grant by the Home Depot Foundation for post-renovation, beautification, and/or makeover projects. 9. Negotiate agreement to live webcast the American Legion Baseball World Series on ESPN3. Internal Affairs. 16. Negotiate with DOD to allow the American Legion to actively promote its programs on military bases and encourage base commanders to assist. 21. Request U.S. Postal Service to issue stamp commemorating the American Legion's 100th anniversary. 22. Support criteria established for a Gold Star and next of kin of deceased personnel lapel buttons and awareness of their significance. Veterans Affairs and Rehabilitation. 13. Urge VA to immediately cease and recall Veteran Identification Cards, VIC, with Social Security numbers embedded in barcodes. 14. Urge Congress to enact legislation allowing the VA Secretary to remove individuals from senior executive service if their performance warrants removal. 15. Urge legislation and congressional oversight to improve future VA construction programs and VA to consider all options to see that major construction programs are completed on time and within budget. Verbatim. The American Legion expects that when such lapses and errors are discovered, they are dealt with swiftly and the responsible parties are held accountable. This has not happened at the Department of Veterans Affairs. There needs to be a change, and that change needs to occur at the top. National Commander Dan Dellinger, calling for the resignation of 3 of VA's top officials during a press conference at American Legion National Headquarters in Indianapolis on May 5th. Gallery. Past National Commander Clarence Bacon salutes a portrait of his friend, the late past National Commander Richard Pedro, as taps is played before the National Executive Committee on May 7th. Honor and Remembrance. They Are My Heroes by Henry Howard. The remaining 36 survivors of the USS Indianapolis disaster recall in vivid detail their nearly 5 days in the oil-soaked, shark-infested ocean. Their tale began just after midnight, July 30, 1945, when a Japanese torpedo sank Indianapolis in 12 minutes. About 900 of the 1,200-man crew managed to abandon ship, only to fight off hallucinations, shark attacks, and the urge to drink salty seawater. After a chance sighting by a pilot flying on routine anti-submarine patrol, 316 men were rescued. In the disaster's aftermath, survivors did not blame Captain Charles McVeigh for the loss of the ship, yet the Navy court-martialed him for negligence. For years, survivors and others fought to set the record straight and exonerate McVeigh, who committed suicide in November 1968. History might still blame McVeigh if not for a curious Florida sixth grader who began looking for the truth in 1997 after watching Jaws. A school research project ended up clearing McVeigh's name and putting young Hunter Scott on the path to serve as a Navy helicopter pilot. The American Legion magazine caught up with Scott at last summer's Indianapolis reunion and asked him how his research shaped his life and career. Take me back to the beginning, when you were watching Jaws with your dad. I was looking for a topic to enter the National History Day competition. There's a scene where Captain Quint and the others are comparing scars, shark bites, and tattoos they had, and it led into a 5-minute soliloquy by Quint about the USS Indianapolis. I said, "Is that a true story?" My dad didn't know, but he was working on some research for his dissertation at the time, so I went to the library with him. He is a lifelong educator, so he thought this would be a good opportunity to teach me how to do some research. For the next several years, I continued to research the Indianapolis. Was it hard to track down information for the project? I had a very difficult time finding information. I was able to get a hold of a survivor, Maurice Bell, who lived maybe 5 minutes from my house. Despite the generation gap, we hit it off. He showed me his Purple Heart and other artifacts from when he was in World War II and on the Indianapolis, and he gave me a list of all the other survivors. So I went down the list, and eventually I was able to contact every single one of them. 156 were still alive at the time. And the more I began to dig, the more I found out that something really didn't add up in terms of who was responsible for the sinking and why the captain was court-martialed. What happened at the history competition? I was disqualified due to a minor technicality. They had changed the rules, and my history fair coordinator gave me an old copy of the rule book. I had two notebooks full of interviews with the survivors. He said, "If you put these on the floor in front of your display board, I promise you that the judges will be impressed." But it was now against the rules to have a floor display on your display board. They highlighted that section of the rule book and set it on my easel afterward and told me I was disqualified. At that point, I was pretty distraught. I spent some time crying after that competition because I had put so much into it. What happened next? I took my display and got it set up in Joe Scarborough's office. He was my congressman at the time. Since Pensacola is a big Navy town, people came in and started looking at all the research I had done. I told him the story about the contest and that I still wanted to help these men. His office helped draft legislation and get it introduced to Congress. A few years later, the captain was exonerated, and the crew finally received the recognition they deserved. Did you work with McVeigh's family on his exoneration? His son Kimo lived in Hawaii and passed away 1 week before his father was exonerated. There was another son, Charles, who was alive at the time. Kimo gave me Captain McVeigh's dog tags when I came to visit him in Hawaii. I carried the dog tags with me to the congressional hearing. Did your experiences with the research project lead you to your career choice? Without a doubt. Otherwise, I would not have considered a career in the military. It was not a part of my life growing up. Describe what these men mean to you. I describe it as having a bunch of grandfathers. These men have taken me in. They are my heroes. From the moment I met Maurice Bell, I wanted to try to do something for these men. They made sacrifices, and some of their shipmates made the ultimate sacrifice for me. Because of that, I am proud to serve in the military. It is a coincidence that my primary mission as a Navy pilot is anti-submarine warfare. History. Saratoga's final voyage. USS Saratoga, which launched warplanes during the Cuban Missile Crisis, Vietnam War, and Gulf War, will be dismantled by Esco Marine of Brownsville, Texas, Fox News reports. The Navy paid one penny to the firm to recycle the 81,101-ton aircraft carrier. Esco Marine will cover the costs of towing, dismantling, and recycling the carrier, which was decommissioned in 1994. In an interview with Fox, Sammy King, secretary of the USS Saratoga Association, called the ship our surrogate mother, adding, "We owe her a lot. We went aboard as snot-nosed kids and left as men. Some of us are very sad and some are very angry at the decision to scrap her." The ship was decommissioned in 1956. Technology, the smell of battle. The Army is requesting scent generators to help medics in training prepare for the sensory overload experienced while caring for wounded soldiers in combat, the Washington Examiner reports. Among the scents the military needs generated / replicated, hydraulic fluid, blood, vomit, diesel exhaust, fecal odor, and burnt flesh. The smells would be used by a type of teaching classroom called a transport medical trainer laboratory. According to the newspaper, the lab will include scent-generating wall-mounted containers. The request isn't without precedent. During World War II, a government research project packaged tubes of material that replicated bad smells, which were used by the resistance in France against German troops. And DOD offered grants worth $300,000 in the 1990s toward development of a bad-smell-based weapon. In fact, the Examiner reports that enough odor research has been performed that the government, including the Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, and Navy, now has a large odor atlas to use. Verbatim. If we make the necessary efforts to address this challenge, and supposing I'm wrong or scientists are wrong, what's the worst that can happen? Secretary of State John Kerry, in a commencement speech at Boston College defending the Obama administration's climate change policies, he referred to skeptics as members of the Flat Earth Society who risk nothing less than the future of the entire planet. Military Affairs. F-35 to make first transatlantic flight. The F-35 is primed to make its first cross-Atlantic flight this month, Reuters reports. The new airframe is expected to take part in two international air shows near London. Pentagon leaders expect two or three F-35s to fly at the Royal International Air Tattoo, or RIAT, and the Farnborough Air Show. Britain is purchasing 138 F-35s. At least one expected to make the transatlantic flight will be the F-35B variant, which has vertical takeoff capabilities and will be deployed by the RAF. Entertainment. Wasted channels. 189, average number of channels in prepackaged cable bundles. 60, average number of channels added to cable bundles in the past 5 years. 17, average number of channels watched by cable consumers. $90, average monthly cost of a cable television subscription. Honor and Remembrance. Monument honors polar bears' memory. The polar bears, a little-known group of 5,000 U.S. soldiers, mostly from Michigan, fought in Russia during World War I. In fact, while the American Legion's founders gathered in Paris, the polar bears were still fighting, says Stephen Stevens, commander of Post 14 in Troy, Michigan. President Woodrow Wilson sent the 339th Infantry Regiment on the condition that it be used only to guard war materiel, says Michael Grobel, historian and president of the Polar Bear Memorial Association, PBMA. But when the polar bears arrived in Archangel, Russia, in September 1918, the equipment had been looted, and they were ordered to join the British campaign against the Bolsheviks. While the war ended on November 11, 1918, the polar bears were fighting their fiercest battle in Russia and facing a long, cold winter. The vermin, the lice, the men quickly got infected, and with no place to take baths, they spent the whole winter scratching and underfed with minimal daylight, Grubel says. They had to be ready in a moment's notice to withstand a Bolshevik attack or go out on patrols. It was pretty miserable. Back home, families demanded the return of their sons. In May 1919, when the Archangel Harbor thawed, the polar bears were able to go home. Since then, the PBMA and Legionnaires have told the stories of Detroit's own, largely through support for the Polar Bear Monument in Whitechapel Memorial Cemetery in Troy. During its spring meetings in May, the Legion's National Executive Committee approved a resolution to put the monument on the National Register of Historic Places. This is something that should have been done a long time ago, Stevens says. No veteran, I don't care from what era, should ever be forgotten. What's our purpose in the Legion? To remember our veterans and to keep the public remembering them. Ask a service officer. Beware of VA pension scams. Cajun Camo, Department Service Officer, North Carolina. Question. What scams should I watch out for concerning VA pensions? Answer. Some pension advance products offer to pay military retirees lump sum payouts in return for their monthly retirement payments. These may amount to only pennies on the dollar, and the advances carry interest rates from 27% to 106%, threatening a safe retirement. There are many pension advance companies online, usually with patriotic-sounding names and logos. If you're offered an advance, stay away from arrangements that allow a creditor to access the account from which you get your benefits. Get a trusted financial expert's advice. Additionally, some individuals and companies use VA's aid and attendance pension benefit as a hook to sell services. This benefit is for eligible disabled veterans who require the aid and attendance of another person or who are housebound. Individuals or companies looking to sell their services may offer to help veterans obtain aid and attendance benefits, but they often require customers to sign up for financial services first, then move assets into irrevocable trusts for qualification. When being solicited, watch out for the following. A lawyer or veteran advisor who offers to get the aid and attendance benefit for a fee. Federal law prohibits VA-accredited advisors from charging to assist with VA claims. However, at times, a consultation fee is charged upfront. A claim from a paid advisor stating that he or she can get the benefit for you quicker than anyone else. No one can bypass VA's standard evaluation process. An offer to help financially secure veterans qualify by taking control of their finances and moving assets into inaccessible trusts. This may disqualify a veteran from other benefits. Retirement homes using the lure of aid and attendance to get veterans to move in on the implied promise that they will get the benefit. If the claim is denied, the veteran may not be able to afford to remain in the facility. Find an American Legion service officer in your state. www.legion.org/serviceofficers. by the numbers. 7.5% of Army's 170,000 women who say they want a combat job. Careers. Do Thank You Letters Make a Difference? The Job Front by Wendy S. Enelow. Yes, thank you letters give you a competitive advantage over other job seekers, most of whom know they should send a thank you note but never do. Why would you ever pass up an opportunity to showcase your achievements again and distinguish yourself from the crowd? Recent statistics show that less than 10% of job seekers send thank you notes, yet survey after survey from Career Builder, Monster, and others report that they give candidates an edge. Here are four top reasons why it's worth your time. You get in front of the recruiter or hiring manager again, giving yourself another chance to sell all you have to offer. You can share qualifications and achievements you forgot to mention in the interview. You demonstrate that you listened by sharing an idea or solution to a specific problem. You can overcome an objection. If a company is concerned about your focus on munitions, doesn't relate to their product, or can't appreciate the depth of your leadership experience, managing 25 or more people in combat operations, here's your chance to make them understand by translating to civilian language and equating your experience to their specific needs. Consider these four easy tips when writing a thank you letter. Send an email. Unless it's a particular high-level position, an email is fine in our world of instant communication. Keep it short. A few brief paragraphs or bullet points is enough. You want your letter to be read. Showcase what matters most. The letter's content should focus on the skills, experiences, and successes of your career that relate most to that company's needs and challenges. It's all about them. Include the right contact information. After your name, include a mobile number, a live link to your email, and one to your LinkedIn profile. Thank you notes are another way to stand out and be the one. Take advantage. Education. Yellow Ribbon Funds. My GI Bill. Veterans and Education by Valerie Hefner. Question. I'm a military retiree studying for a degree in pre-medicine. However, I am considered an out-of-state student. What can you tell me about the Yellow Ribbon program? Answer. If you are attending a public institution of higher learning, IHL, where the non-resident tuition is higher than the in-state tuition, the school may voluntarily enter into the Yellow Ribbon program for non-residents. This program requires the school to provide a tuition waiver that VA will match. For example, your school may charge in-state residents $1,000 and non-residents $2,000. VA will match what the school will pay to cover the non-resident tuition. Mobile apps. Legion Baseball app debuts this month. An American Legion Baseball app will be available just in time for this summer's regional tournaments. With the app, smartphone users can look up scores, box scores, pairings, and more for regional games and the American Legion World Series. The free app is to be available for download in late July. Users will also be able to enjoy full coverage of tournaments in stories, photos, and videos, view and buy merchandise such as baseballs, hats, and shirts, check out what other fans are posting on Twitter and Instagrams during the tournaments, access travel information and resources. www.legion.org/mobile-apps. Scouting. Meet Eagle Scout of the Year. Joseph William Blaze of Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, is the American Legion's Eagle Scout of the Year for 2014, receiving a $10,000 scholarship. A member of SAL Squadron 926, Blaze worked with Honor Flight Philadelphia to organize an Airbus for 25 local World War II veterans, with 25 scouts serving as guardians, in June 2013. The first to sign up was Blaze's grandfather, Bill Grogan. From there, his outreach exceeded expectations. In the end, six buses of 150 World War II veterans, volunteers, and scouts traveled to Washington with police escort. The caravan returned home to a cheering crowd of nearly 1,000, including American Legion riders. Convention. Charlotte Tours Baseball Game Among Attractions. Lou White Tours is the official tour operator for the American Legion's 96th National Convention. The first price listed for each tour applies for advance registration and the second for registration on site in Charlotte. Charlotte City Tour. Departs at 10 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. August 22nd, 23rd, and 25th. $35, $38. Charlotte Motor Speedway departs at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 12 p.m., August 22nd, 23rd, and 25th, $35, $38. Old Mecklenburg Brewery departs at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m., August 22nd, 23rd, and 25th, $35, $38. Billy Graham Library, shuttles depart every half hour from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., August 22nd, 23rd, and 25th, $12, $15. Concord Mills Outlet Mall, shuttles depart every half hour from 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., August 22nd, 23rd, and 25th, $12, $15. All tours will depart from the Martin Luther King Sr. Boulevard entrance of the Charlotte Convention Center. Last-minute sign-ups should go to the convention registration desk. Convention registration badges are required on all tours. Register online for a tour, www.legion.org/convention. Click 2014 Convention Information, then Tour Opportunities. The NASCAR Hall of Fame is across the street from the Charlotte Convention Center and is open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. Regular adult admission price is $19.95, but the price is $10 with an American Legion name badge at the box office. The reduced ticket is valid for 5 consecutive days. Just show a picture ID when you use it. The Charlotte Knights, a AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox, will host American Legion Family Night at BB&T Ballpark, just 3 blocks from the Charlotte Convention Center, on August 22nd. National Commander Dan Dellinger will throw out the first pitch at 7:05 p.m. as they take on the Norfolk Tides. Go online to check the availability of tickets, www.ticketreturn.com. American Legion 2014, password American Legion. Personal Finance, USAA. Declare your financial independence. Focus on Finances, J.J. Montanaro. The casual historian might mark July 4, 1776, as the beginning of the American Revolution. In reality, the war began more than a year earlier with the battles of Lexington and Concord. But the Declaration of Independence marked the point of no return. Our founders were committed to liberty or death. Just as it took a formal written declaration to galvanize and commit our forefathers to national independence, the same sort of effort is required to put ourselves on the path to financial freedom. So take some time this month to create, update, or modify your own roadmap to financial sovereignty. You can start by considering the following tenets as you develop your own guiding financial document. I shall live within my means. This sounds so basic, but it's a powerful commitment with broad-ranging benefits. It's not a stretch to say our founders would be shocked at our nation's present state of financial affairs, as individuals and as a nation. As I've said before, spend less than you earn and save some to boot. There's a simple tool that will enable you to live up to your declaration, a budget. Set aside time to list your income versus expenses and savings. Look for places to cut back if the numbers don't work. Make a document that guides you through your daily financial life. If living within your means becomes one of your guiding principles, you'll avoid crippling debt, have money in the bank, and lay the foundation for a financially sound future. As Ben Franklin said, your net worth to the world is usually determined by what remains after your bad habits are subtracted from your good ones. That's true of your financial net worth, too. I shall prepare for the unexpected. Last fall, when the government was on the verge of a shutdown, many folks were concerned about being able to pay the bills if they missed a paycheck or even half a paycheck. The congressional battle over the budget was truly disconcerting, but the idea that so many people would be financially crippled if they missed a single paycheck bothered me more. Start building your emergency fund now. Setting aside $25 or $50 per paycheck into a savings account is a good start, and commit to a periodic review of your life, home, auto, and other insurance policies to ensure they offer the appropriate amount of protection at the right price. I shall responsibly use debt. If you don't use it at all, I won't be offended. But with cars and houses, it's probably difficult to be a cash buyer. Just remember, credit cards should be used for convenience or rewards points, not as a tool to spend more than you have. Use credit in the context of living within your means. Make timely payments and check your credit report periodically. Payday, title, or tax refund anticipation loans shouldn't be part of your financial toolkit. I shall save for the future. Don't put it off any longer. Start using the Thrift Savings Plan. Set up an IRA or put away funds for the kids' education. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of resources to help you learn more about saving and investing, but only you can decide to get started. As we give thanks for the good fortune of being born in the world's greatest nation and celebrate the courage and sacrifice of those who founded it, commit to these four financial declarations. I'm certain they'll aid in your quest for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Active duty. Stiff competition. The U.S. military is taking only 20% of the applicants who walk into their local recruiter's office, the Washington Times reports. We're turning down twice as many as before, Army Sergeant First Class Terrence Horde said in an interview. The Army has set 57,000 active duty recruits as its target goal this year. Verbatim. What are we teaching our children? Everyone isn't a winner. Bennett Staff, a parent at North Hill Elementary in Rochester Hills, Michigan, who protested a school field day flyer stating that the need for athletic ability and competitive urge to win will be kept to a minimum. The reward will be the enjoyment and good feelings of participation.